Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
So I just want to issue a headphone disclaimer, mamas, in case we got the littles in the room or we're doing a group or we're out in public. I just want you to know, headphones, 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 girl, because there is a little spicy language, but it's passionate and well-placed. Hey, friend, it's Nicole, host of the Nicole Walters podcast. Here's where we laugh, we cry, and we grant ourselves grace as we do life together. Let's get started. Hey, friends. So I am really thrilled with the way that you've been responding to season four of our chats, because as I promised, we're going to get even more unfiltered, even more frank, because it's about living boldly. And you also know that I promised that I would not bring anyone into our conversation, our growth, that I did not think was going to contribute to that, have value beyond the time that you'll spend listening, and was very qualified. And I have been blown away by the responses to, you know, me sharing about entitlement and how that, you know, triggers us, and, you know, some of the therapy resources I've engaged in, like EMDR and talk therapy, and then also exercising and practicing what I'm learning in therapy by changing my boundaries, changing my habits, affirming my boundaries. And you guys are doing it too. So it's been really fun chatting about that in the DMs. And so for that reason, I felt like, let's keep doing the hard work, right? We'll keep doing it together. And I want to introduce you to one of my favorite resources, you know, for learning, right? Because we have to know what it is and name it to fix it, right? And then also one of my favorite sort of, I want to call it accessible, approachable, relatable ways to talk about therapy, particularly if you have some stigma associated to it or if it's something you're not used to. And Dr. Scott Lyons is all that. Now, don't let the doctor part scare you. You heard me say accessible and real. He is a regular person, a kind human who is smart and qualified, but my goodness, just like us. And I'm just so excited to have him here today to teach us more about how stress and trauma isn't just something that happens to us. It can really become a part of us because we become addicted to it. I mean, you guys probably know my background. You know that it's been something I've had to break, and I'm hoping I can help you break those chains too. So Dr. Scott, thank you for being here.
Thank you, my love.
Thank you. I am so grateful to have, let me just say, I'm grateful to have you as a human in this world interested in doing this work.
Thank you.
You say thank you. No, it's because I don't want to. Like, literally, if there was a list of things that I would never want to do. It's like research trauma and try to come up with coping mechanisms and like listen to people talk. I could not. Yeah. Why are you like this? Like,
who hurt me?
Who hurt you? Okay, we need to light candles because who hurt you? Why are you like this? Like, take me back to move me forward, right? Yeah. What brought you to this work?
You know, I grew up as a performer, but I always had this heart of like empathy. I wanted to understand other humans.
Sure.
And I couldn't stop learning until I figured out, like, I didn't feel human. I was so dissociated and traumatized as a kid. You know, I used to tell my parents as a 4-year-old that I feel like I'm a walking ghost.
Wow.
Yeah.
As a 4-year-old.
As a 4-year-old. And they put me in therapy. Mm-hmm. They, like, what else do you do?
Sure.
But I would say, like, I don't feel dimensional. I feel flat. And like, I didn't know what that meant. And we have words for it now as adults. Like, sure. I was really dissociated. I was totally disconnected from my body and at times reality. And I wanted to know what it was to be human.
Wow.
I wanted to know what it felt like because I was so disconnected to my feelings and my body and my sensations. And so I was like, I don't know, where do you get that information? Maybe school? Like, mm-hmm. I went and studied psychology and medicine and acting.
Yeah,
and
you have all, listen, I mean, you want to talk about being put into an environment where you're going to use your tools.
Yeah.
Theater, acting, that will let you know what trauma looks like, right? You know, for sure. Every theater kid has something they need to say and express, right? But I'm so impressed with the sort of solution-focused nature of it all because so many of us take what we're feeling and what has happened and just kind of say, it is, I'm just going to carry it, you know, or sometimes we get kind of victim-y and we're like, oh, you know, I can't believe this happened to me. And then that dictates how we approach life, you know, but you did something. So I'm excited because I want to extract your doing somethingness for all of us.
Yeah.
So you came to it because you were experiencing it.
Yeah.
Now, so many of us are experiencing, you know, trauma, drama, stress, and we don't even know it. Because it is so normal.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how we get to that place? Because I know that coming out of divorce, you know, I am going through sort of, you look back on it, multifaceted awareness where I thought I got it, I didn't get it. 6 months later, that was what that was. And I am blown away by how I used to live 3 years ago and the fact that I'm still standing. How do people even know how bad it is?
Sometimes we rely on other people or the things that, like, our life just doesn't feel right. Like, we keep feeling like these challenges that we can't resolve. I mean, the reality is it's such a great question. How does it just become our normal?
In drama, because your whole thing is being addicted to drama. How do I even know if I'm in drama if I'm just used to it?
Yeah.
Like how people are like, oh, these are just my kids until they go to, you know what I mean? You go to someone else's house and you're like, oh, my house is dirty. Or you know what I mean? Or you meet someone else's kids and you're like, oh, your kids like sit at the table. Like, how do I even know my life is weird or crazy when I watch on TV and it's chaos? I'm in my workplace, it's chaos. My house is chaos. Like, how do I know?
Yeah. I mean, I figured out for me that my childhood was utter chaos, that the things that were going on, the massive fights, that, you know, drama was the currency for love and like illness was the currency for love. Like when you're challenged or when things are going wrong, that's when you get attention. So it becomes the currency of love.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and so I didn't realize that until I got away from my household and I saw how other people reacted. And I noticed that they would get attention for doing good things, that they would get attention for just being loving and supportive. And I was like, whoa, something doesn't compute. And it's in that dissonance where you see it one way, but you've experienced another way, that suddenly something cracks open and you get curious and you investigate what it is.
This is so, so powerful because one of the things that I've shared here is that oftentimes our confusion resides in the isolation. So when we are living in it, when our world becomes increasingly smaller, when we kind of get into this cycle of all I do is momming, you know, so it's like my whole world is my kids and all I do is my entrepreneurial business and I'm spending all these hours at the desk and it's glamorized and glorified, you know, like you're such a good mom or you're such a hardcore entrepreneur that you literally don't even realize. You step out for 1 minute and you're like, wait a minute. There can be peace, you know, and then it's how do I get there? Now, you have tools, though. I know that you've got a quiz that you do that helps people kind of figure out some of those questions because not everyone can escape it to find out.
No.
So tell me more about this quiz.
Yeah. So there's a quiz on my website that they can take. It's like,
what's the website? We need it.
It's www.drscottlyons.
Got it.
And it's also in the book, Addicted to Drama. And do you want to take it? Do I know someone addicted to drama or am I addicted to drama?
Oh, we can do it. Listen, all my friends, I feel like my friends right now would literally be like, Nicole, you don't even need to take this. We know you, but let's go ahead and I'll take the test myself. I'm not too shy.
Before we do the test, should I define drama and addiction
Absolutely.
Drama?
I'll define it so we know what I'm testing and also tell us about this test. Like, what does it help us find out? Yeah. Like all of that. And y'all take it for yourself too. Like, I'm not doing this myself. Okay. You better take out a pen and decide for yourself too. Okay. Don't leave me out here.
And we'll normalize it. Like, you're still a good human, even of if course. You recognize you're a little dabbler in the drama. Like, of you course. Got a propensity or a little addiction to the stress.
Yeah, I'm addicted to cheese and proudly. Oh. Okay, so listen, addictions can't be all bad. I receive it.
And I was heavily addicted to stress.
There it is.
I mean, there just nonstop needed it.
Ooh.
And couldn't get enough. Built up a tolerance level for it, needed more to feel more of it.
That's
had withdrawal
wild.
Symptoms from it. We all do. That's the thing.
So can you tell me, well, I love this because I read somewhere and I want to hear everyone say it and I don't want to mess them up. Those five signs of addiction.
Yeah.
Because we know what addiction looks like when it's substances and things that are normalized as being negative.
Yeah.
But what does addiction look like when you are addicted to stress, drama, trauma?
Yeah. So all, you know, forms of addiction have like basic tenets that make an addiction. Like it occupies a lot of your time. Mm. Like you might not think about stress, but you might be engaging in things that are stressful constantly.
Like entrepreneurship. Like if it's like, oh no, I always work 90-hour work weeks.
Yeah, overscheduling yourself.
Mm.
And then the stressful result in your nervous system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We might go, hey, you're amazing. You do so much. Mm-hmm. But the overscheduling is actually a dependency on stress.
What are we doing right now?
What
is this happening right now? I'm like, if you don't get up out of my office, like I'm not ready. Okay, so that's the first one is this aspect of overscheduling, overdoing it, just taking up this time.
It takes a lot of time. Like you're focused on it. Another part is we build a tolerance for it. So, you know, we all know this a little bit perhaps with like drugs or alcohol, like you need more to get high.
Yep.
The result in stress is that you actually need more stress to get the benefits of stress.
Can I tell you right now that I am deeply bothered? And I feel safe saying that because you're a therapist.
I'm here for you.
There's literally like, because I'm applying this to entrepreneurship, right?
Please.
So, you know, you get applauded being like, oh, she's tough as nails.
Yeah.
She can handle it all.
Yep.
She can.
Yep.
I like, how did you handle your daughter going through cancer while building your business and getting $1 million? You are so brave and bold. Mm. But after that, it's like, okay, you get through it. Then you're like, now I need to launch 8 businesses.
Yeah.
And it's not because you are driven or ambitious. It might be part of it, but it may be that I'm pushing my stress limit to get a better fix.
You need the fix. And here's the withdrawal piece of it. It's like withdrawal when it comes to addiction to drama or stress looks like boredom and anxiety.
Oh, hear me on anxiety. Listen, the boredom part, not so much, but the anxiety for sure, because it's like, am I doing enough things to make money? Do I, like, you just don't know how to sit still.
You never feel
with nothing going
enough.
On. Yes.
You never feel safe enough. You never feel like you have enough money. You never feel like you have enough love.
Y'all, are you hearing this right now? Could you be an addict? We haven't even gotten into the questions. I just want you to understand how common ideas around addiction can also apply to these other things.
And so many of us know it. And like before I read like the hardcore questions, like I'm going to give the soft question.
I like that though. Like warm me up. Ease me in there.
It's like, have you ever experienced going to a meditation class, being in a bathtub, someplace that's relaxing, like walking through a forest or whatever, and all of a sudden your mind starts to build up 1,000,000 miles an hour?
Are you kidding me? I sat in a float tank and I literally wanted to drown myself, okay?
Yes.
I was like, no. I was like, it's too loud in here. I was like, some of us need to leave, okay? Like, it was a lot going on.
Exactly. But that's physiology, where all of a sudden you start to rest and there's a reflex called the revving reflex. And it goes into, you start to build stories. You start to think about what you have to do.
Yes.
You start to think fights in your head with people you love or know.
Or overanalyzing. I think is a really common one for women. Like, you know how people say like, oh, I was driving away and then I was like, did I leave the stove on? Did I whatever? It's like a simple way of saying like, you couldn't even just trust that you did the thing you needed
couldn't
to do.
Couldn't trust yourself. Yeah. And part of that is this physiology. This is all the addiction to stress, is that the moments of calm settling lead us to closer contact with the things we're avoiding, which is our inner emotions, trauma, pain that we cannot process and metabolize.
And that makes sense and is commonly understood with substances. Yep. So I have a daughter who's currently like 200 plus days in recovery.
Wow.
And for her, it was whenever it would get quiet, I would use a substance because I didn't want to think about my childhood or previous things. And, you know, now she's learning when it's uncomfortable, like, there are a million, talk to people, talk to friends, you know, let's unpack it, you know, let's go to therapy, go to meetings.
Yep.
But it is a confronting the discomfort.
It's confronting.
And so with stress, we do that too. I'm like, let me go to work.
Yes. We chase the drama to avoid the trauma.
If y'all don't write that free tip down, that is a free hot tip. Y'all don't have to pay for that. Underline, highlight, put it on a post-it and stick it on your steering wheel.
We don't, and we don't recognize we're chasing it. It's like when we feel like there's always something going on and there's always some type of stress or relationship, big fights, big relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You're finding you're doom scrolling. You're watching the news. All of these things that could otherwise be these moments of stillness are filled and occupied by moments of activation or stress.
Wow.
That's the chasing. It's
so I have a question about that, though, because that sounds like what I think a lot of us think drama looks like. So I think that we do need that definition of drama because a lot of us think that drama looks like that relationship. Like, oh, maybe this isn't me because my life isn't dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, like I am a regular mom who just takes the kids all the time, but the kids are always, they might always be fighting or I'm always trying to argue with them about cleaning their room or I have a lot going on. I'm busy.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like my life is dramatic.
No.
So drama, I could still be addicted to drama.
Yeah.
Based on the sort of medical definition that you kind of have, the clinical one. Yeah. So can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, drama is the unnecessary stress and turmoil in our life. It's the exaggerated, intensified behaviors, emotions, you know, reactions.
Mm-hmm.
It is essentially the disproportionate amount of energy in response to a stimulus than what's actually needed. So it's like making a mountain out of a molehill.
That's so good.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's so good and it's so helpful because it also lets us know that, and this is something that's really, I think, I've spoken about it here before, but it's kind of like when you have a six-year-old and your six-year-old is saying, this is too hard for me, Mom, and you're like, it's just tying your shoes. It's not hard for us, but in their world, that is like a disproportionate amount of stress for their tiny little human experience. And so what I'm hearing is that even if your suburban life drama of not being able to get into the tennis club, you know, feels like something that I can't relate to because, you know, I'm dealing with chemotherapy sessions. This isn't the suffering Olympics.
No.
Drama is drama.
Drama is drama.
You know, based on your life.
Yeah. It all comes back to the physiology of it, of like needing it, but not necessarily even know you're needing it, filling with it.
Instead of being like, I don't need to be part of this tennis club. I'm not even good at tennis.
Yeah. It's like retelling that same story over and over and over again, emotional venting to everyone you know, not letting it go.
We know that person or we are that person. Let's just tell the truth. Okay, so, all right, let me put myself out here. What is this test that's about to tell all my friends everything that's going on? But look, we're doing it together,
We're
doing it together.
And here's another like fun kind of question. Have you ever blown a birthday candle out with a fire hose? Like,
no.
Not literally. Literally. But it's like, okay, someone says something mm-hmm. and your reaction is tenfold of what yes. makes sense.
I have absolutely done that yeah. and I absolutely get triggered. I've done it with friends. Yeah, I've done it with family. I've done it with employees. I've done yes. it with coworkers. And always because I have a million things going on behind the scenes
yeah.
that met that moment yeah. and shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes we feel bad about it, but for other sure. times we go and we justify it. Mm. We bring friends in to justify it. Mm-hmm. We call up our best friend. And we're like, they said this and then they right. said that.
Unless you have the type of friends like me who are like, girl, that was your fault.
Whoa, really?
Get back in there. Oh, yes. My friends tell me about myself. It's not fun.
That one is on you. I honor your friends.
It helps me grow. You know what I mean? They keep me in check.
But that shows your level of health.
Mm. Because therapy.
Therapy. Like when we're surrounded by beautiful enablers,
mm-hmm.
we're going to keep recycling the pattern.
Well, it hurts though.
It hurts.
Nothing gets better. And no. that's the hard part, you no. know? Oh my gosh, that's good.
So a few of the quiz questions.
Here we go, y'all.
I use language like extremely, literally, always, very, really, never.
Mm-hmm.
We create this more extreme language, essentially. Mm-hmm. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, it's a rain. Yeah, it's also, I get it, drama.
I feel anxious when things are calm.
When things are calm?
Calm.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. And I will say, I'm going to be completely yeah. honest about this because yeah. you're new to me, Dr. Lyons, yeah. but like everyone in my community has been here a while and yeah. they would know if I was lying, right?
Yeah. yeah, yeah.
There was a time where the answer to that is always.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. so it, you know, post-divorce, post-big yeah. move, I like have reduced the size of my team. Yeah. I take different projects. Like they've heard the work that yeah. I've done, which is why you hear the hesitancy because I can still yeah. feel in my body, yeah. which is interesting because that stress response,
yeah.
when you say that, I can feel like, and I'm, oh wow, like I remember when I was, the yeah. answer would have been always.
Yeah.
And that is really interesting. You know what I mean? Like I'm weaning off.
Yeah. You're weaning off the drama, off the stress.
Yeah. So sometimes.
Yeah. And it's not yes or no. It's sure. never, seldom, it's sometimes, frequently, yeah. always. It is mm-hmm. a full scale mm-hmm. of our mm-hmm. propensity for drama. Have you ever had someone say, after interacting with them, say to you like, wait, what just happened? Whoa, I don't know how we got from here to here, or shit, that was intense.
Yes, that's happened. Yep. Yeah. Or like, girl, you a lot.
You a lot.
That's the
yeah.
people I talk to. Girl, yeah. that's a lot. You
that's a lot.
That's happened.
And that's feedback.
They say it on the podcast. I'm sure people listen and they're just like, ooh, that's a lot, Nicole. This was a hot one today. Ooh. So yes.
Yeah. And then there's the question of, could it also not be a lot? Like, would yes. you be okay?
Yes.
Like, is there a range? Is there a scale of response? And that's really what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When it goes from 0 to 60 in a second, mm-hmm. and that's the only response you have lost your power within you to be responsive to what is truly here in the present moment.
That's so good. So about this,
yeah.
I have noticed that as I've gotten older,
yeah.
and I don't know if some of that's just biological, right?
So.
You know, because people like to say, oh, the 13-year-old girls are a lot of drama, that sort of thing. And some of it's hormonal, whatever.
Neuro-pruning.
You know? Neuro-pruning. I love this. Well, you know, I pruned the heck out of my tree. I don't even know if it's going to bear any more drama fruit. You know what I mean? Because I rolled up on 40 and was like, oh, no. Like, it's not a lot. I just don't have yeah. the space or energy yeah. for it. Is that real? Or
yeah.
is that just something that like, I think, or people say.
Yeah, I have experienced that myself
mm-hmm.
in my own addiction drama. The mm-hmm. older I've gotten, like, I don't
have the energy.
Care
like,
anymore.
I'm just tired.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I don't have the extra energy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't want the energy. Because this is the thing about
That's
stress
good.
That most people don't know. You ready for it? Stress gives us energy. It's like drinking 4 cups of coffee because you get that big boost of energy activation
wow.
in order to fight, flee, or whatever you need to do. And people become attached to the energy because it feels powerful.
So, okay.
Yeah.
You understand. And for those of y'all watching on YouTube, you're seeing my faces. Okay. So.
Yeah.
I have experience yeah. with bipolar disorder.
Okay.
I am not personally diagnosed, but I've experienced with it in,
yeah.
in many phases over the range of my life.
Right.
And one of the things that was really powerful for me as I've gone through therapy to, yeah. you know, cope with, you know, people in my life who have had bipolar or people yeah. in my life who have bipolar,
yeah.
or, you know, one and two,
sure.
right? The thing that was shared with me was that mania feels good.
Yeah.
And
yep.
that was a transformative statement to me because, you know, in trying to understand why someone with bipolar wouldn't take their meds or wouldn't engage in, because I'm so practical. I'm like, oh, bipolar, like I have no, when someone's, you know, not a neurotypical, you know, thought project neurodivergent, you know, I'm very like, okay, it's like having diabetes. Let's take the insulin. You know what I mean? Like kind of let's, so you're just different. You know what I mean? Like in your processing, cool. We'll just figure out what we got to do to accommodate because you have so many great things to bring to the world. So being, you know, having the diagnosis of bipolar does not mean anything to me more than, okay, so you operate a little differently. Let's see what we can do to figure it out. Yeah. And I say that for anyone who's listening who may struggle with the shame or stigma of any mental health diagnosis. Yeah. Like you have so much to offer to this world still and don't let that hold you back, right?
You are amazing. You are perfect.
Yes.
You are human.
Yes. Nothing is wrong with you. No. You're just different. You know what
You're
I mean?
You're just having...
That's it.
Yeah, there are things in the way of you experiencing
the world.
Richness, the wholeness of
That's
who
right.
you are.
That's right.
And the survival strategies you had to navigate.
That's right. That's right. And yes, all of that.
All
and
of
so
that.
Knowing this, you know, when I heard that mania feels good and that it's kind of a pull, you know, that makes them inclined, especially if they feel the need in a moment where they're feeling a little less self-esteem or a little bit weaker. They're like, gosh, if I put on my manic hat or my manic coat, you know, then maybe I'll show up differently or I'll perform better.
Yeah.
So I want to take that to stress.
It is absolutely the same as stress.
No.
You feel a sense of elated power.
Like I can do it.
Yeah. Have you ever had like... This is going to sound like a strange question, like, but been in a fight, not necessarily a physical fight, but like an argument.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment where you're like, I feel powerful.
Sure. Where people will say like, I got to burn off steam.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I got to
burn
really off steam.
Which doesn't really make sense. No. Like, cause you're like, fighting should be exhausting. So why did someone need to go like walk a mile to like cool down?
Do you want
to
know?
Yeah. I'd have to know.
So here's the other thing about stress. Have you ever, are you a runner at all?
Do I look like a runner?
I'm not answering that
fridge.
Fucking question.
I know, you're a smart man, okay? No, I run to the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, I run away from my problems.
So you know what running's like.
I run
like.
To my
you
man.
Running.
Like, I know what I it looks to like to move man. Quickly. You know, I definitely don't actively run as an exercise.
So have you ever heard the phrase, like, in a runner's high?
Yes. Oh, I've heard of it, never experienced it. If I did, I'd be a runner.
Okay. We're going to go for a run, you and I, and just till we can get the high and then we'll take a break.
I am an empowerer, so I'll be happy to cheer you on. That's like, I know my ministry.
Okay? I know my ministry.
And I like to reside in it. So, yes.
So that endorphic high, that runner's high is endorphins. It's hormones releasing.
Sure.
In a stress response, we have a massive release of endorphins. So stress is our most natural pain reliever. It blocks the pain receptors.
It's also why when people punch walls, they don't realize
they don't
it until after. And then they're like, oh my gosh, my hand, what did I do? And they're like, dude, you're bleeding.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy because you're marrying science with what we already feel.
We know it.
We know this. And so it's what I'll say is it's got to be freeing. And I hope all of you hear this because we're going to shift to solutions soon. You know, right? We're going to shift to solutions. But identifying the problem is so key to knowing accepting the solutions.
Yeah.
One, knowing that some of our responses are biological. Yep. They're enforced by society.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, and also there are ways to know what's happening to us. So if you felt any of these things or identify with any of these things, like you're just human.
You're just human.
Can I tell you what, get out of it?
Can I tell you one more interesting stress human thing?
Yes.
So you know, have you ever heard the phrase like trauma bonding?
Oh, have I? I mean, I literally came out of a divorce and I was like, I can't even get a dog. Like, I'm afraid to get plants because I will be bonded to this plant. It will lose leaves and I'll be like, why are we going through this?
So studies show that people who share stressful or traumatic experiences bond more faster and for longer than people who go through happy experiences together. Stress is a social glue.
And that is so... terrifyingly, like it is why people gossip because it bonds a familiarity really from something that's like threadbare. It's not even like a legitimate connection, but it's, you're telling me it's like physiological.
It's physiological.
Wild.
Stress gives us power or a sense of energy. Stress gives pain relief. Stress gives us a sense of connection to other people. Why would people not become dependent on stress?
And it's easy.
And it's free.
It's easy and it's free.
You can be in a desert and stress yourself out. You could be in a forest and stress yourself. You
that's
could be in
true.
A bathtub and find something to stress yourself out
Ooh,
about.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is, I'm getting stressed by this conversation. Okay. I'm literally over here like, this is all too much true. So let's go to the relief portion of it, right? So, all right. So we know what it feels like.
Yeah.
We know why it happened.
Yeah.
We know some of it can be us.
Yeah.
And some of it is just how we're hardwired.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, you know, get into hacking of the hardwiring, but yeah. I do want to know if I'm a simple person, regular mom, and I'm like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Where do we even start with this?
Yeah. Recognize your revving. Is one of my first tools.
Write that down, y'all.
Recognize your revving. So revving means you're stirring yourself up to a stress response.
Mm-hmm.
You are pulling things in from external from you, like, oh, I'm going to watch the news. I'm going to get into an argument.
On social media.
Social media.
Certain people you follow, maybe. So, okay, recognize your revving. So I
recognize
like this because I love breaking things down into like real actionable.
It's real actionable.
So when you say recognize your revving, one thing I'm hearing is that stress isn't like sudden onset. You're saying that it can rev up and to a point where it's too much.
Yes.
Okay.
We will rev all the way to that drama explosion.
Mm.
That unregulated, reactionary position, response.
So today I went to the doctor's office in the morning and I was doing like my regular checkup. I'm very into like blood work and all the, just tell me what's inside, right? Like I get body scans just, and I'm like, you know, God willing, if nothing's there, base level.
Yeah.
Tell me what's on so I have something to say. Like, look, you did this, child. Mom did not arrive this way. You know what I mean? Yeah, she did not have gallstones before and she does now. Do your homework. African parenting.
Yeah.
Your inner therapy, right now your therapy is cringing.
I might say that's a little bit of weaponization.
You think it's all a little bit of weaponization? You think putting the scans on the fridge next to their school test and say, look, mom succeeding also is a bit much. No, that's very mommy dearest. No.
Some shit.
That's like some, like, get some help. So, okay. But that said, when I was at the doctor's office and they were taking my blood work, I said to them, hey, can I have a minute to kind of calm myself down versus walking in cold and then taking my blood pressure right away?
Yeah.
Because I knew the number may not be reflective of me taking a minute to like rev myself down, I guess, like de-escalate myself.
Yeah.
So when we feel ourselves starting to rev, we can remove things.
Yes.
Or do we just remove things or people? Like, are you telling me to quit the job? Or do you know what Like, I really want to know.
Start small.
Know?
Start small.
Okay.
So like when I said, okay, have you ever sat in a meditation practice and started to recognize the fast thoughts?
Yep.
That's a rev. That's called an internal rev.
Mm.
Yeah, you're stirring things in your body. You're in your mind. You're going, what was that sensation?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a headache? Oh my God, what does that headache mean?
Yep.
You know, versus external stuff. So you start to notice that revving action at all. And so it's like when things are calm, notice what happens in the space, in your body, in your mind. And most likely you're starting to rev.
Mm.
If any of the things that we've said before sound familiar, you're likely starting to rev, even in the slightest ways. Like if you start thinking about your ex out of nowhere, what are you doing?
You're revving. Like, because also it's not real, right?
No,
like
they're not there right now.
And so my therapist calls this just not being in the present.
Yeah. It's not
that
being in the present.
Because if you're in the past, like she calls it living in the memory.
Yep.
So if you're in the past or if you're thinking about the future, you're causing yourself undue stress because neither of those things are here with you.
You are revving if you're cycling the past or resourcing the future.
That's so good. And also, I guess if you have people around you that like to do that.
And I mean, misery loves company. Drama loves company.
Wow. Yeah, because I have people in my life or had or have altered boundaries with people in my life who literally like all they want to talk about is like this happened in 2016 or that one time 45 years ago, I remember you stepped on my toe or, you know, and it's just kind of like.
They always have to rehash.
Or just rehash. And you're just kind of like, I understand, I believe you, but now what?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Can't. It's the inability to move on.
Yeah.
Because the inability to move on requires the vulnerability to feel less or to feel what you actually feel.
So I have to ask, a lot of people will say the reason that they can't move on is because they need validation in their experiences. You know, like where they'll say, because this is common on the internet where there's this weird dichotomy of people saying, you know, and therapists from different camps, you know, saying like, you got to move on, you got to live in the present, you got to like, you know, do the here and now. Yeah. And then other therapists saying, look, you know, you have to deal with the pain. You have to deal with the past. You have to, you know, reconcile what happened to you in order to move on.
Yeah.
So how does that sit with drama? How can I reconcile my past, but not obsess over my past or victimize over my past or need to rehash my past?
Yeah.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
It's, is there any metabolism of the past? Is there any emotion that gets processed? And if not, you're just recycling the past to rev yourself up.
So revisit your past with a purpose.
Exactly. And so I feel like this sadness in my chest when we talk about my divorce or mm-hmm. your divorce. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I can tell the story about how awful my ex was. Mm-hmm. Or I can attend to what, and this is called processing dialogue mm-hmm. versus dramatic dialogue. Mm. Dramatic dialogue is then he said, then she said, then they said. Then,
that's right.
And talking about the narration, mm-hmm. the story, mm-hmm. and not talking about how I feel. And so when I do.
So that is so, yeah. I just like, I hope all of y'all are hearing what is being, I'm telling you, I'm going to get all the messages about this. This is a session on a session on a session because so many of us think yeah. that talking about the issue or talking about it is healing, but rehashing and getting into narrative stories and situations is not healing. Healing is real. Well, so what does that sound like?
Well, first of all, you cannot talk your way out of trauma.
But there's talk therapy,
and
right?
It doesn't work to the significance. Mm-hmm. Like you've done EMDR.
I agree completely.
I teach somatics or body-oriented therapy. Mm-hmm. Trauma lives in the body.
Yes.
The ability to talk, like, you know, it's in our bodies. It's in the way we move. It's in our behaviors. Mm-hmm. It's ingrained like a memory mm-hmm. there. And talking is way above that. In our evolution of and how our brain
works.
We
can talk ourselves out of the therapy.
We can talk our way.
Literally.
Ooh, I'm good at that.
You know?
Intellectualizing, mm-hmm. talking about other people's shit.
Rationalizing, deflecting, all the things. This is so good yeah. because it also, yeah. I think, is healing for some of you who mm. might be hearing, I did therapy and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you might have done talk therapy or yeah. had the wrong therapist or weren't ready yeah. or whatever. But, yeah. you know, when you therapy works,
yeah.
period.
Yeah.
You know, it's about finding the process that works for you and also acknowledging there have been evolutions oh, yeah. in our understanding of therapy that can really help you find the type that works.
Yeah.
So you said somatic, like help yeah. people know what that is.
Yeah. So first, when I say talk therapy, you can't talk your way out of trauma. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of other things people come into therapy for.
Sure.
A lot of skill set building. How mm-hmm. do I be more empathetic? Mm-hmm. How do I just function with another human being in
that's
the same
right.
room. Like there's a lot of other things, but trauma is different. Mm. Trauma resides as like an imprint of memory in your body.
Is that why you get sick? Because I
yes.
talk about that in my book.
Yeah.
I had Bell's palsy, high yeah. blood pressure. I got psoriasis, which yeah. is only stress induced. Yep. You know, like yep. my body was literally breaking down
yeah.
and I never understood that. But what yeah. you're telling me now is that
yeah.
like stress, because yeah. it's trauma, it's yeah. manifesting.
So if you imagine yourself like a glass, like this glass of water, and we pour water in and then we sip some out, that's functional. That's functional. We have, you know, it's not flooded. Mm-hmm. But if I put your glass under a hose mm-hmm. and I just keep filling and filling and filling and filling, you're drowning inside mm. there. And you are not able to talk yourself out of that drowning, out of that flooding. And that's what we're talking about is trauma. It floods your entire nervous system and lingers there because there isn't the space, time, support, permission to allow it to move out. Or like meaning there's not someone here to hold your hand and walk you through it and say, you're going to be okay or you're mm-hmm. safe enough now
mm-hmm.
to let it move through. Mm-hmm. I know you're scared. I know you don't want to feel that pain again. I don't want you to feel that pain. And I know that touching into that pain, even just the littlest amount, is going to help your liberation.
So I have to tell you, yeah. I know right now, for some of you listening in your headphones or in the car before you go in the house, like, you might be having a moment, you know, and I just want to, you know, applaud you for having that moment and for allowing yourself to lean into what you deserve, which is information, opportunity, permission, you know, to embrace your own healing and change in your life. Yeah. And, you know, and so with that said, now that I think we're really hopefully getting on an understanding, you know, of what stress and trauma can look like, you know, in our lives, in our feelings, and kind of where we either, you know, need to take some ownership over allowing it to continue or revving ourselves, you know, now that we know what a rev is and how it shows up and hopefully some ways to kind of de-rev, you know, what does it look like to really start making some long-term changes? Because I think a lot of people's fear is it happened, it'll never get better.
No.
I can't change it. Like, what am I going to do? Get rid of my kids, divorce my husband, quit my job, you know, eat, pray, love my way out of this, you know? So I did that, but not everybody can do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So what does that look like?
Now, do you remember VHSs or DVDs?
Do I? Are you kidding me? I found a floppy disk the other day.
Tell me about it.
No one knew what it was. I was like, they were like, is that the save icon? I said,
oh,
stop.
No.
I was like, no.
Well, hopefully enough of us remember what a VHS or DVD or
absolutely.
CD is.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it like this way. The trauma gets recorded there and it stays in your closet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think because of its impact, maybe we're sick or maybe we get into really bad relationships all the time.
Right.
The way that survival response from the trauma is playing itself out. But the truth is, we can learn to go get that DVD and push the play button slowly this time and process through it in a way that we couldn't before. And it actually erases from the DVD.
This is my brain, literally. You painted a picture where I'm like, holy cow, and I hope everyone hears this. So I think so many of us will have those DVDs and CDs and we'll say they have value to us still because we remember listening to it with our favorite song or we remember whatever else. But realistically, sis, you don't have a CD player anymore. You know what I mean? And you use Spotify. You've upgraded to new systems. So you put this in your closet thinking, oh, this thing is done. It's over. But I kind of have some fond familiar, which is that addiction, right? Like I have that fond familiar. I remember feeling something with this, right?
Well, the addiction is keeping it in the closet by using all these other ways to distract yourself from knowing it's there or even coming close to it.
And we just need to take it out and download all of it and put it on our Spotify so we can have it or whatever. Make a list of songs. Like you can have pieces of it, you know, like, but get rid of the disc. I don't need it.
You don't need it. And absolutely. So once you recognize the revving, you start to find the sacred pause before the revving, where you create enough wedge in between stimulus and response, like between what's coming in and your reaction or behavior to
it. A wedge, creating
like
a pause.
Like a wedge, like a pause.
Like, do you mean just saying, hey, I need to sleep on this or I'm leaving the room or something bigger?
Or like, ooh, I can feel myself stirring shit up in my body or like pulling things in or like on the internet for no reason. No reason. Or thinking about my ex for no reason. And I go, pause. I'm going to pause. And the more we can learn to pause, the less we go in to the reflex of getting into the drama. We are stopping it before it begins. And then the magic of that is that wedge that we've created is enough space for us to go and look in what's inside of us that hasn't been processed. That's the space we get. The you know, the defense responses, the survival responses have been let down enough so that we can start to meet our inner childhood wounding.
Ooh, actually heal.
Actually heal it.
Wow.
And that's going to stop the pattern over some time. It takes a while.
Of course it does.
But we're taking the fuel out of the car.
Well, and this is really powerful because, you know, what I'm hearing and just sort of a very simple process, like de-rev yourself, use that pause moment, you know, and then look at what's in there.
Look
you know,
under what's in the
hood. Yeah, look what's, under,
what's
the
under the hood.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I have to say that pause sounds so great because just like stress, it's free.
Yeah.
It's readily available. Yes. You can do it anywhere. Yeah. You already have everything you need. Nothing's missing. You got it. You can roll. But so many of us are afraid to pause that we'll drink, we'll party, we'll go somewhere else, or we think that that's the pause. We deflect, right? So, you know,
good point.
I want to call out and ask, is it the same thing to what does a real pause look like? Do you know what I mean? Because some people will say, oh, you know, this girl's stressing me out. I need to go have a drink.
Yeah.
You know, or this situation is too much. I'm going to go shopping. Or is that really a pause?
No.
Got it.
No, it's not. Definitely not. So like, let's go back to the example. This girl's stressing me out.
Yes.
This person is stressing
me out.
And I'm going to block them. I'm going to block them. Ooh. And then I want them to know I blocked
them. That's right. I'm going to block them and text them that they blocked.
And then I'm going to go stop.
Right.
I'm going to think about backing away from the situation. Sometimes I have done this with people in a room. We put the drama is like this water bottle here. Mm-hmm. And I say, walk away. Take 5 steps back. Can you do it? Are you okay? Do you feel safe enough? And they're like, I want to go closer. There's something in me that wants to grab it. I'm like,
no way.
All the time.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, just notice that. Notice something in you wants to grab it. And is there any part of you that can feel the ground underneath you? That can hear my voice, so bringing them back to the present.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that, we both kind of took a deeper breath when I said that. Because we actually have done this. You and I have done these practices.
I've done the work. Yeah, like things like count or, you know, breathing exercises. Yeah. There's so many things to like bring yourself here.
Bring yourself back to the present. And that's creating the pause. So the pause away from that revving reflex, the one that goes, ooh, I need to go get that. I have to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
There's an immediacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's not.
It's an animalistic urgency. It's that like, it's pituitary, primal. But it's not that. It's the amygdala, right? It's that sort of response of in your brain that's saying, I need this thing, life or death. But realistically, in the present, it's not real. It's just real. The science of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not real.
Oh, Dr. Scott, I'm telling you right now, like I am over here like this is transformative, you know, and you give so much in such a short amount of time. But as we all know, the real work continues with us. Where do you send people to continue to do this work? You know, what is the process if someone's listening now and saying, look, like I do have an addiction and I never would have labeled it as such, but understanding the severity of it is key to me actually being incentivized to change it.
Yeah.
What do they need to run out and get a therapist? Do they need to practice their pause? Like, you know, because you can feel overwhelmed with finding a fix. Yeah. So what do you recommend?
Look, therapy is not accessible to everyone.
That's right.
So it, like, I never default to that because I think it's unfair. Mm. It's expensive nowadays. There are a lot
expensive. I pay a mortgage in therapy. Every
I know.
Month.
Me too.
Literally a mortgage in therapy. I mean, and I just make the room for it because it's hard to do, especially the work that we do where we're interacting with people who have, you know, money issues, consulting issues. Like I need therapy to show up, you know? So it's an investment for me.
It is an investment.
I make the room. I literally would sleep in my car and still have therapy because it'll get me out of my car. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's how I believe about therapy. But I also recognize that, it's, you know, for some people it's thousands of dollars and there are sliding scales. I always try to say that you can always ask.
Yep.
Therapists are some of the most generous people in the world, you know?
There's group therapy.
Group therapy.
As long as people are not looping in on each
really
other's
hard,
drama.
Really hard.
And trauma bonding.
Because some people are not well beyond what a group can offer.
So there's groups, there's online resources, there's YouTube videos, there's books. Like there in the back of my book is about 25 pages of exercises.
I just want to say it because Dr. Lyon's not going to say it. There are all these resources online, but please go to Dr. Scott's stuff because I do not want you landing in some, you know, hokey pokey, you know, fake me out shaman's inbox, you know, and it's not legit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like because there are a lot of people who have their own healing work to do that will co-opt your pain for profit.
Yep.
And one thing I can say is Dr. Lyon's is, again, qualified, generous, you know, experienced. Please, please, please start with his book because there are resources there that I know are valid both in a emotional, moral, ethical way, but also clinically. So Addicted to Drama is the book. Yeah. People, and it's out now everywhere. Yeah. You can just grab it. You can listen to it. So,
and I built a whole online learning platform, a whole platform for trauma healing called the Embody Lab. And so we have workshops, we have trainings. What we wanted to do was make trauma therapy and learning how to offer it to other people and yourself accessible.
Oh, so
powerful. We have an enormous amount of scholarships.
Oh,
we do that.
So generous.
And we do at least once a month, once every other month, a day of just free workshops, like 5 or 6 workshops in a day on different subjects, all related to like coming back into the present, coming more connected to yourself, connected to other people. Mm-hmm. as one of the strongest ways of healing.
So tremendous and so generous. I'm telling you, I couldn't do this work. I couldn't. Yeah. Like it, I mean, it is giving so much of yourself. And yeah. Y'all, that's the homework assignment. Get the book, Addicted to Drama, Dr. Scott Lyons. Then go to the Embody Lab. You can find him on Instagram, Dr. Scott Lyons. You can see when the free workshops are, if that's the bucket you're in. But it is an investment that is worth getting. It's affordable. It's accessible. And above all else, do not be ashamed to identify that you may need trauma-related healing. Yeah. Because, heck, if you made it through the pandemic, you experienced a collective trauma.
Yeah.
Like, it's real. It's out there. Let's work on it.
Yeah. Thank you. We're all just trying to come back to ourselves, come home to ourselves. And I love that your work is out here too, helping people come home to themselves. You're such a powerhouse.
Oh, you better heal my inner child. You tell me everything my African parents didn't. That entire parenting will get you.
I'm going to talk directly to your inner child right now. I love you. You are worthy. You are special. Yes. You are magnificent.
And tell
you
me
have
I'm
changed
pretty.
The
tell
world.
Tell me I'm pretty.
Oh, shit. And you're pretty.
And I'm pretty.
And you're pretty.
Y'all take a little bit of that for yourself too.
Please
okay.
Do.
We're this is a great you. Chat. You're amazing. I appreciate you. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for taking out the time. Thank you for your work, y'all. You have your assignment. Hop to it. Another great chat. Oh, I love spending time together. Now I need you to subscribe, rate, and leave a review because I love hearing from you. And then come hang out with me on Instagram at Nicole Walters. I'll be back here next week, and I hope you are too. See you there, friend.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.